I would like to note too that before the podcast began to record, I have been encouraged to perhaps let my freak flag fly.
Yes. Good. You know what? That's right. Good on you, Hillary. I think that that's great. I love it. I didn't expect to be the butt of the first one, but that's okay. That's, you know, that
you're talking to Ash, I'm sure.
The Rated MA podcast for the website nerdappropriate.com. This is Mylon Barrows in for Matt this week.
Poor Matt. Matt's out this week, everyone, because his internet apparently exploded and he was trying to connect with us. And we were talking to Mylon and she's going to fill in. So we're pretty excited. Yeah.
Surprise guest.
This wasn't planned at all.
Somehow I got roped into this.
Like, yeah. We're like, will you play the role of Matt today? And Mylon said, sure. So welcome, Mylon. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Yeah, we were going to have you on before PAX East this year, but it came a little earlier. So maybe we'll have you on again in a couple weeks. Who knows? We're going to kind of play things by ear this year.
I think this now marks the fourth time on this podcast where we've had two females on the program.
Yeah, that is. That's true. This is we're
it's the
becoming,
best way to do it.
It's very diversified.
Yeah.
Let's do the rundown.
Okay, so we're going to talk a little bit about PAX today. We might talk about some PS4 rumors, and then in our reviews, we're going to talk about Far Cry 3. We'll talk a little bit about Borderlands 2 new DLC and the Dead Space 3 demo that was released to some people this week. Uh-oh. And then in our Naquato, this week's question is, what film, television, or video game character do you think deserves their own real-life monument, and why?
Awesome.
Was that your question this week?
That was Hillary's. So it was Hillary's question.
Ha-ha. Yeah. Ha-ha. Nicely done.
Her first question was a little, I don't know. But
oh, shush.
The second one was excellent.
Come on.
You know what's real?
What civil rights activist is your favorite, and why? I think that's a fantastic question.
I mean, I think it's a timely question. I don't know if fantastic is the right word.
Is your favorite?
Shut up. And why?
And why? Well, because...
I don't know, you guys. It is a pretty nerdy question.
It is pretty nerdy. We should just start our own like history cast, or we'll start our own civil rights activism cast.
It's quite
specific.
And
then Haytham shows up.
It'll just be called Person Appropriate.
Who the hell is Haytham?
Or hate them. So this is the part where we kind of see what everyone's been up to this week, and we recorded episode 88 just on Monday, so it's only been a few days since we've talked.
I feel like I just got done editing that podcast.
You did just get done editing that
I'm podcast. Like in a time warp right now. This is so strange.
That's okay. Sorry. Well, the good news is 90 is set to record later, so you should have some time to be free and
all right.
Frolic and skip in the fields, which is what you do in your free time.
Yep. I do with my
with
free
robots.
Time.
With robots.
Yep.
So let's start with, let's put Hillary on the spot this week and make her go first about her action-packed week of what she can talk about.
So what have I been doing? So I've been working a lot, which is great. So I'm helping out BioWare with the PAX East preparations, which is super fun.
Yeah.
I'm doing my regular time job, which is regular level fun. And that's about it. So I haven't really done much. I think Scott and I both played the Dead Space 3 demo, which
awesome.
I think we'll talk about later. So yeah.
But
that
you played
was really
solo,
awesome.
Right? You played by yourself.
I did.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw, you know what, I saw your message about doing co-op and I was like, yes, yes, yes. And then I got pulled into a meeting. So,
bummer.
Yeah,
I heard a rumor that one of the things that you guys are working on at PAX East is a Mass Effect themed character kissing booth. Is that true?
How did you know?
Yeah, I want to see what Vortex taste like. So
totally. We're thinking about bringing in a Thresher Maw.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Yeah. Cause that would be really
can
cool.
Can you actually kiss a Thresher Maw?
Why not?
Now, will it be in an awkwardly shaped cosplayer dressed as a Thresher Maw, or are you going to actually biologically engineer a Thresher Maw?
So here's the thing. I can't really give away the secret sauce.
Ah. Oh, my gosh.
So yeah, just stay tuned and, you know, come by the BioWare base.
I am so incredibly excited for this now.
Yes. Tentacles.
Seems like a safety hazard. Yeah. like teeth or something.
Can you get insurance for that? Because I'm not sure how that would work.
Legal handles that. I don't deal with any of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fair.
Thresher Maw kissing insurance. It's expensive stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, we might need a bigger room.
Yeah. Scott, what have you been doing?
Well, I played the Dead Space 3 demo as well, but I played a co-op. And I think
you're
that's
so social.
I'm becoming more social.
This is
a big thing
for him, by the way. When we started this podcast, Scott was the biggest anti-co-op person I had ever met. He was like, there's co-op in this game. It's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And now he's totally the opposite.
Really changed my tune, you guys.
Yeah.
Well, I think I was anti tacking multiplayer on the game onto games that didn't need it, you know? So, mm-hmm. like, a game that was traditionally a single-player game and then you add multiplayer to it as, like, a cash grab or whatever, I think that's what I didn't like, but... Mass Effect really turned the corner for me because that was really good, and then like Borderlands and stuff. But I've been playing Assassin's Creed 3, and
are you still gathering feathers?
No, I've collected them all, so now I think I'm somewhere in sequence 8. And
okay.
At times I get frustrated with the game because like the things in the game they ask you to do are challenging, and then I start to question like the technical significance of what I'm doing. Like I'm really like getting so mad that I'm thinking about it. So I got to that part where you have to blow up the two ships without being detected, right?
Yeah, totally.
And then air assassinate a grenadier. Like those are the optional objectives, right?
And yeah, so, you just stand on the railing.
But I'm getting you have to air assassinate him. But I'm getting so mad.
Yeah, no, you stand on the railing Yeah,
but in my mind, I'm getting mad, and so in my mind, I'm like, really? To get full synchronization, like Connor was supposed to get through these ships without anybody seeing him, even though the ships blew up afterwards, nobody saw him do that. But I was like starting to like lose my mind.
Yeah. You know? So here's the thing: there's something that comes up in like the last sequence where it's like this chase thing, and let me just say that they actually put a patch out to make that part easier because it was like the hardest thing ever in a video game ever.
Are you talking
like,
about
it was,
like the end of the game or the end of the sequence?
End of the game.
It's close to the end of the game. Like it's this like really like hectic chase thing that
it
took
was
me
fucking horrible.
Well, there was,
dude, and you played it with the patch. I didn't play it with the patch. I played it like
you know,
before
it with the patch.
Oh my god, I was seriously like I almost threw my controller through the TV. I was just like, oh my god, I can't even do this. It was
broken. There was no other way.
I was like, screw the freaking 100% sync because this is not possible.
I mean, it's like a mundane thing too. Like
I
just got to that part where you had to chase. Whatever the next guy's name was through the city. Like it wasn't a long chase, but you had to do it without pushing anybody.
Yeah.
And I was like,
really?
I'm like the Animus can't handle if you push somebody, like you can't get that full sync to like find this key that's going to save the universe. Really? You know,
You're looking into it a little bit much.
I know
sir.
I may have overreacted to the situation and I apologize.
That damn Animus is so technical.
Yeah. So Mylin, why don't you tell us what's going on in your life?
Oh, okay. Well,
it's been like a couple of weeks.
I know. I feel like I talk to you guys all the time because I listen.
Yes. Thank you so much, by the way.
And I totally talk back when I'm in the car driving to and from work listening to the podcast. So I feel like I'm a part of it every week. And now it's like a dream come true.
Now you can listen to yourself in like next week when we air this. You're like, oh, there I am.
There I am. Yeah. You know, I've been watching, I went back and started watching Life on Netflix. It's, I don't know if you guys have heard of it, but it's a show.
I saw every episode. It was great.
Oh, it's so good. It's, for those who don't know, it's a show that Damian Lewis was in before he was in Homeland. And I'd read that the people who made Homeland went and found him because of this show. Like they decided they wanted him to be in their show. And it's really great. I think that he gets so much opportunity to show a lot of range in
absolutely.
It. And
incredible show. And the premise of the show, for those who haven't seen Life, he was imprisoned for, it was a cop that was imprisoned for a crime he didn't necessarily commit. And there's a huge conspiracy to kind of put him in jail for life. And then he gets out And he is kind of, while he was in jail, he almost becomes like a super being by all the things that he's read, and he's kind of become this Zen individual. So he learns kind of how to be a better cop by being in prison for a very, very long time. And it's his story, and it's great. And I was a Damian Lewis fan because of Band of Brothers, and I don't know if you guys have ever seen Band of Brothers.
Oh yeah, I've seen a couple episodes. Yeah.
So he's the main.
I was forced to watch that.
You didn't like Band of Brothers, Hillary?
I just don't really like war that much.
Oh yeah, that's the history nerd in me coming out. That I watched that. Gosh, I don't even know how many times. But he's amazing in that. So I'm glad you watched that, Mylan. It's good.
Yeah, I'm. I think we're still in season one, but I'm really enjoying it. So but other than that, I've been working a ton, so I haven't had a chance to do too much. But I was in the newspaper yesterday, so that's kind of funny and fun.
Awesome. For what?
Tell us.
So Andrew Testerman, who I met at PAX, is a writer, and he asked if he could interview me a couple of months ago, and he did a feature on me about just being a writer in games and getting into games and also working in television. And so they put it that it got published in the games column of the Bozeman Daily Chronicle, which is his local paper, I think, in Montana. And so it's sort of a trip to get to read about myself in the newspaper.
That is really cool. My brother lives up there in Montana, so he probably actually got your newspaper up there.
Oh, funny! I have a cousin and an aunt who both live in Bozeman. Like, it always seems to go back to Bozeman. Yeah.
Well, you should tell them to get the paper from yesterday because I'm in it.
Oh yeah, I totally will. That's awesome.
That's really cool. That's super cool.
Yeah, he did a great job with it. It was nice. He made me all sound all smart and stuff.
I haven't been in the newspaper since I played T-ball in elementary school.
Nice.
And I had one really good match. And is it called a match or a game? It's a game. I had a really good game. And they put me in the newspaper because I was apparently good at T-ball.
Well, that's really nice.
That was the last time. No, actually, no, one time after that I can't talk about that I was in the newspaper. We won't go there.
Wait a minute.
Oh, I just want to ask, and I know what he wants.
So my week, I know, as always, you guys are...
Ash, I was going to ask you. Sorry.
Were you really?
I know nobody asks you. I was going to be like, Ash, hold on, let's go back.
Wait. Nobody asks Ash.
Poor me.
It's because it's going to be about butts.
It is not going to be about butts, but it is about having a stomach ache. No.
Hold on. So, Ash, what were you doing last week?
Well, thank you so much for asking, Mylan. I had a pretty busy week. Obviously, work was kind of hectic. I did manage to squeeze in some game playing stuff. I played all the way through Far Cry 3 this week.
You almost tripped over that again.
Dude, I know.
Far Cry 3? I know. I can't say it. You guys are so cruel. Anyway, so I think it was Wednesday of this week. I went to the grocery and I bought a big thing of spicy chicken wings for my wife and I. And we're like, we're just going to have chicken wings for dinner. It'll be awesome. So I ate all these chicken wings and I played Far Cry 3 for like 5 hours, right?
Yeah.
And if you guys haven't played Far Cry 3, it has some of like the most like terrifying and harrowing experiences like ever. You think Dead Space is scary? Far Cry is scarier than Dead Space because these are all like real life scenarios. It's like losing control. Okay, driving your car completely in first person, losing control of your car, having it go fly over a bridge upside down into the water, and you trying to break out of the car as it's sinking into a bottomless abyss. That is scary.
It's creepy.
I don't know if it's
cinder block
scary.
Thrown into a dark ravine. Or having to claw your way out of piles of bodies.
That happened to me just last week.
I know. So it's a really, in a real world kind of, I'm using finger quotes here, in a real world setting, Far Cry 3 is kind of scary. So I ate all these chicken wings. And I remember waking up in the middle of the night. It's like 3 a.m. and I'm just like drenched in like chicken wing fueled sweat. And like I was having Far Cry nightmares.
Wow.
Where I kept like sliding down hills. And it's the kind of game where like if you fall too far, you can't fall like more than 10 feet in this game or else like you will be horribly mangled and die. And it's also a game where like if you fall down, you'll like break your arm and then it'll show this really gruesome animation of like you like resetting your
bones. Oh, that's cool.
Or if like your thumb is broken, your thumb will be like turned the wrong way and your character will like grab it and snap it back. So my dreams were all just like me falling and like snapping bones. And this actually happened to me in the game. I was driving in the game, right? Mm-hmm. And I drove off a bridge. My car flipped. I was underwater. I was swimming out of the water. And then I got to the shore. And then an alligator grabbed me by the torso and pulled me back into the water.
Oh,
and I had
no.
to wrestle the alligator and kill it with a knife. And so essentially I'm saying don't eat a lot of spicy chicken wings and then play Far Cry 3 or else you will be.
That was your dream or was that the game?
It was my dream, like on repeat.
Oh my God.
On repeat, like all
that's awful.
Like wrestling and falling and just like, it's crazy. And yeah, so don't try that at home, folks.
All right.
Well, all right.
That was really intense, guys.
Yeah, I know. I get into it.
So you know what else is intense?
What's what? That?
What we're talking about in the new segment.
News.
Whoa, nicely done, Hillary.
Well done.
We're going to PAX.
Heyo.
News.
Yay.
News.
News.
So yeah, I guess the first bit of news is, hey, everyone here that's on the podcast right now will be at PAX. So Mylin's
yes.
as well. And
woohoo.
We'll be there. And Scott and myself, and I'm assuming Matt, who was supposed to be here, we just got, of course, our press stuff approved for this year's PAX East. And I just got my plane ticket. So and Scott has his plane ticket. So yep. we're all good to go. We'll definitely be there. Stuff that we are excited about. Anyone know anything that they're excited about this year's PAX?
I'm excited.
BioWare base.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, and the indie mega booth is supposed to be very, very cool. I've heard some things about
this year's indie mega booth.
Yeah, yeah, and I think you guys should definitely check it out. And you should come find me because I won't be there as press. I'm going to be there with Tin Man Games. So look us up in the map and come say hello.
For sure. Actually, I was contemplating a strategy for PAX this year.
Yes.
And that was to focus more on like titles that weren't those gigantic AAA booth titles.
I love that idea.
I love that as well. Just because those games tend to get so much coverage. And, you know, us saying like, hey, guess what? Dishonored is great.
Yeah.
That is not
right. Obviously.
Right. You know, when every other outlet is doing the exact same thing.
Well, I feel like the pleasant surprises come from the things that you're not expecting, which are usually the games that you may not have heard about going into PAX, you know? So, mm-hmm. like, that's where, like, at Prime, that's where I found out about Puzzle Juice through our bud Jimmy Henson.
Absolutely.
Who did the music, and Puzzle Juice is amazing, so.
And how lame is it that we didn't know about FTL before anyone else? That seems like something that we should have discovered, you
yeah,
know?
Right? And I think just a longer walk through those parts of the convention floor are really going to pay off this year. So I think that's the strategy I'm going to adopt. I'm looking forward to that.
Awesome.
To
yeah.
Unexpected.
They're with you. I had some other PAX stuff, but it's totally blanking right now. So that does not serve the podcast very well. I'll think of it in a minute.
Oh, I got another one too. Dance yeah. Central 3. I'm wrecking that thing.
Yay. Let me know when you do. Cause I'll come cheer you on.
Do you play Dance Central 3?
I got it for Christmas. I haven't had a chance to play it
oh
yet. I played Just Dance, but I haven't played Dance
no,
Central.
We don't
but
talk
I...
about that one on this podcast. We talk about the other one.
No, I know. I'm telling you, I'm trading up. But
okay.
But I'm a good dancer, so I can't wait to.
I am not a good dancer, so you should learn any song in Dance Central 3 and let me know, and then we'll do it.
Are you serious?
Yeah, sure. Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, within reason, obviously. But
I know how you're like. Wait a minute. Yes, but. Well, we could agree on a song. I mean, we could totally
yeah.
we could rock this out.
It'll be like the beginning of Scott Pilgrim where you guys have this like insanely choreographed routine, like completely mastered.
Yeah, it'll be great. I'm really looking forward to it.
We should. I know you can't see me right now, but we're both wearing hats that are very similar. I think we should come up with a uniform too. Like I
like this. I like this idea.
It's a lot of fun to be had here.
You want to make up your own Dance Central 3 cosplay for this event? Maybe we could try to coordinate that.
You guys should both dress like Captain EO.
Oh,
wow.
Please. That would be awesome.
Love Fest. But, see, oh my God. I loved Captain EO when I was
really?
A kid.
Really? Me too. Oh, my God. I talk about it. I talked about it on the last podcast.
Scott is freaking out inside right now.
Yeah.
Dude, that was the best part of going to Disneyland when I was a kid.
It's the best part of going to Epcot now. Come on.
It's still there.
Yeah.
Still here in
Orlando. They brought it back.
Disneyland's better.
Hillary.
What?
I've never
been they did a reboot.
I loved Figment too. Did you guys?
Yeah, absolutely. I still know the song. I'll sing it if you want.
Please, I don't remember it.
Imagination. That's all I know.
Oh my God.
I have no idea what that was.
I'm so happy right now.
Man, that original ride where that ship comes out at the end, like that is some drug infused crazy dream
that
right there.
Amazing.
Yeah.
You guys, seriously, I think I have a picture of me with Figment someplace. I may have it close by. If I find it, I will send it to you.
Please do.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
You know what I remember? If you guys remember going to Epcot, the imagination ride, there was something in the lobby they used to do with like a green screen. They'd have all the kids go up and you'd have to go on like a green screen adventure. Does anyone remember that?
This is very East Coast centric, by the way.
This is what?
Very East Coast centric.
Did you never get to go to Epcot, Hillary?
I did once. Oh,
okay.
I went to Disneyland. Disneyland all the time.
You gotta understand, this is like our backyard. It's like we look out the window and there's the Epcot ball, so that's not true. That's a lie.
I love the mental image though. It's good.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, oh look, there we are. We live in the experimental prototype community of tomorrow.
Totally would do
that. That'd be awesome.
And the land of tomorrow was amazing too. Oh, I loved everything about going to Disney when I was a kid. That was like my favorite thing.
I got
in the
some
whole
bad
world.
News for you that the land is still there, but that other thing where the Body Wars is, that's gone.
Yeah.
Sadly.
It's like Soarin' now or something, right?
No, it's just an empty Soarin' room.
California?
They don't even use it for anything unless there's like Flower and Garden or something.
That's a bummer.
It's really confusing. Maybe they'll turn it into... What?
Do you guys have Soarin' Over California?
We do.
It's not over California, though. It's just called Soarin' Over Not California.
But it is through California. It's the same ride. It's just... It's confusing, though. I don't understand the appeal of that ride. But
I like it. I like the music.
Oh.
And the experience.
Okay.
It's good for when, I don't know. It's all right.
Crazy.
So that's PAX, right? Yeah, that's totally what we were talking about.
Yeah, we.
Yeah, Epcot at PAX.
Epcot at PAX. No, so, honestly, we're incredibly excited about PAX. And, you know, we are excited to see you all there. And we will have more information, more detailed information coming your way soon. I remember what I was going to say about PAX really quick. When I booked my flight for PAX, I was trying to get on the same flight as Scott, but I hadn't looked at what seat he was sitting in, and I picked my seat, and oddly enough, it was right next to him.
That's nice. Weird.
Isn't that fate? Wow. That probably means that those are the seats that are going to get sucked out of the airplane.
Hey, at least we're on the same flights this time.
Yeah, maybe, perhaps.
Yeah, we'll see.
You know, you say that. I imagine sometimes when I fly, I can't help but imagine that scene from Fight Club where the plane like peels off around. It's just like, Oh no.
You know what movie I thought had the scariest plane crash scene was
Final Destination.
Well, that one just explodes, but The Gray.
No, dude.
Neeson, that has an insanely terrifying plane crash scene. Oh, so definitely check out
there are planes in that movie. I thought that was like I don't know. I always saw the promo, but it seemed like that was like set way back in like
now there were planes
days.
Just
only in it was like crazy wolves.
Explode. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
This is so uplifting.
I know.
See what I know.
So I bought my tickets to my plane tickets and ticket, whatever. I don't know. And I get to fly Virgin. I'm super excited.
Nice. Cool. That's your favorite, right?
I know. It's awesome. There's purple lights on the plane. The seats are leather. Like, it's fun. They play cool music while you're checking in.
You're so glamorous, Hillary.
I know.
You should have a whole outfit for it. Like you 1950s should. Flight attendant.
Yes. That would be amazing.
I don't know. Like, I feel like I need to like... be one of those people that rocks like the Louis Vuitton like luggage to
but
be
you're wearing, but then you're wearing sweatpants at the same time, like really expensive ones. Like
they say juicy like, across the butt.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have to be velour and they have to have like the rhinestones.
Yeah.
I was like, go ahead, Mylan.
Oh, I was just going to say, I would love to have a set of Louis Vuitton luggage. That's like, I think,
you know, you've made it. When you have a
yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I'm pretty stoked about my JanSport backpack I've had for 10 years.
Okay, I just love that there's another female on here now, so I can actually like talk about brands. It's really cool.
What are you trying to say? We don't know anything about brands?
I don't know. Scott like, well, I wouldn't take Scott out of the equation. He's a pretty dapper individual.
I'm a dapper werewolf, right? Isn't that
you are
idea?
A dapper werewolf?
Yeah. Right.
So something else that's been going on in the news lately, there's been a lot of rumors about when the PS4 is going to drop. So I'm super excited to read a bunch of articles. I think even Forbes was covering it. One of the Sony executives said that we could see the PS4 come out as early as May, which is kind of like mind-blowing, considering that I think we're all thinking that the announcements are going to happen at E3, which is, I think, June or July.
That's so wild.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? And then there's all kinds of speculation about what controllers they'll be using and whatnot. But what do you guys think the price is going to be? Do you think it's going to be like $800 or?
It's going to be $400.
No, yeah, it's going to be $300 or $400.
My guess
yeah.
is $500 so? For Sony.
Five?
I don't know, because when the PS3 came out, it was like $599 to start.
It was mad expensive.
Yeah, I want them to find a better price point, because I think that they would just sell so many more units if they could just bring it down just a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I don't think they're like the big draw for PS3 for a while too is that you get an integrated Blu-ray. So I think the yeah. reason they were able to charge that much money up front before was like, you're getting a Blu-ray and an yeah. awesome game console.
But Blu-rays are so cheap now.
Yeah.
You can buy a Blu-ray yeah. player for less than $100, right? Mm-hmm. So
yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think my concern with the PS4 is going to be original IPs. Like what is this console going to have that draws me in? Like, I have some ideas mm-hmm. of next gen stuff, but is the next gen stuff going to actually be available?
Uncharted 4.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be another Uncharted. There's probably going to be, I mean, what, another God of War? Another
they do that Resistance, right? What's that game called? The shooter.
Yeah, Resistance Fall, man. I don't know if they're working on another Resistance or not, but I mean, here's the thing with me and PlayStation. I really don't feel like a lot of their original IPs are strong enough, at least to I mean, this is totally my bias, but I don't think they're strong enough to warrant an entirely new generation of console. You know what I mean? Like, they just came out with All-Stars, and I was looking at the roster of their PlayStation All-Stars, and I was like, really? Like
it doesn't make you yeah. want to buy the console is what yeah. you're saying.
But maybe they have something totally new that you haven't even thought of yet. Like, maybe yeah. you can like play this with your mind or something.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Well, so what's the release date? What is the release date for Last of Us again?
It's supposed to be what?
May?
Maybe, yeah, Q2 or Q3.
What if that is a title launch for PS4?
I mean, it could very well be. And
that would be like game changing. Like for
I'm
me,
so excited for that game.
Yeah,
I'd buy a console for that game.
It looks great. It really does.
Well, and then you think about all of the other games that they talked about. I mean, if the next gen is actually coming out earlier than we thought, then all of those awesome games that we were all like gushing over when they were talked about at E3 last year, all of those games could potentially be next gen, which could be amazing, depending on like when 720 or the new generation yeah. Xbox comes out.
I mean, I guess what I'm most excited about is that there will be more horsepower with these consoles. Because I mean, I shit you not, I showed my wife a scene from Far Cry 3 the other night, where I was like standing on a hill and I was looking out, and there was like this waterfall and there were like eagles flying in the sky and just like the sun was setting, and she's like, "That's really beautiful." And I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm like, it is unbelievable how far things have come since the initial release of these consoles. If you look like the original launch titles from the Xbox, they're completely different than what we're getting now. But just giving the developers more power is going to be so incredible in a couple years. I don't think the initial launch titles are going to be that different, to be honest, from our current gen stuff. But I think in like 2 or 3 years, absolutely, we'll start seeing big differences.
Well, just imagine if like the consoles can maintain like a constant frame rate with certain games, or you know, maybe you'll get that game that you've always wanted about the 4-player co-op persistent world game, like something like that, you know. Maybe that processing power will provide for something like that.
No, I agree.
And then also too, you have to think that, you know, you hope the next gen uses different engines, right? So, I mean, there's also like a learning curve involved. When were these engines developed? You know, when do they start getting thrown into production, and how fast can programmers and designers learn how to use it and optimize it? You know what I mean? I think mm-hmm. that's why Xbox games or PS3 games have gotten so much better, because I think people are learning how far is the limit with the current gen engines. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and they keep pushing. I mean, they you know, talking about the new Unreal Engine as an example. You know, we were talking about Fortnite back in over the summer, and they were saying, "Hey, like Fortnite is, you know, it's coming out soon, but it's using the new Unreal Engine, and the new Unreal Engine won't even run on current gen hardware. So it's going to have to be PC only at first, because it just doesn't mm-hmm. have the horsepower to run it. So once these new next generation, you know, consoles actually do come out, you know, they're going to be able to use these brand new engines that have, you know, beautiful, you know, mapping and lighting and all that fun stuff. So I'm pretty excited to see what everything is going to look and feel like.
Cool. Me too. I'm super excited.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yay.
Oh, well, there's a link here.
I see notes.
I don't know what's going on. All right.
I think
I'm sidetracking the podcast. I'm sorry.
Okay. What is it? Yeah. Ahead. I don't know what this is.
I was just being ridiculous when I was talking about games with your mind, but yeah. I think that Scott found an article that said that this is possible.
Oh no.
So, and there's a name on there. There's a name on there that looks oddly familiar.
Yeah, these are different. These are two different things. But like that, when you brought that up, I mean, that is something that is being actively researched, not necessarily for gaming, but for, you know, even for people that have disabilities or like different needs, like being able to control technology, like using your mind or your impulses or something like that is something that's of interest to the research community. So
have you seen Robot Jocks?
I have seen Robot Jocks. It's a fantastic movie.
Is that what you're getting here with this article?
yeah,
what
I guess
that
so.
New Guillermo del Toro movie?
I'm sure that's totally possible.
So as long as Mylan gets a robotic centaur, I think she's going to be
And we bring it back full circle.
No comment.
Oh my God. All right.
Oh man, poor Mylan. I didn't bring up the centaur. That is that should be noted forever.
This one,
I would like to note too that before the podcast began to record, I have been encouraged to perhaps let my freak flag fly.
Yes, good, you know what? That's right. Good on you, Hillary. I think that's great. I love it.
It's okay to be me.
I didn't expect to be the butt of the first one, but that's okay. That's, you know, that
be targeted to Ash, I'm sure.
I'm sure. I thought for sure it would be Ash who would get the brunt of it, but
trying to be a gentleman.
It's only because I like you so much.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll decide to believe you. Yes. Which, by the way, I have to say that the tweet that I got from Ash the other day that said that I had outperved him the last time I was on here, I'm bronzing that.
That's a badge of honor, I think.
It is.
I really do. I think I'm going to put it in my bio. It's going to be like the first thing.
Do you have any special skills?
Yes. Outperved Ash.
Yes, you're hired.
Is that possible? Oh, man. I told you, I have to act this way for my own sanity. So, all right, guys, we'll be right back. We're going to take a quick break and return with some reviews and some discussion about Far Cry 3, the new Borderlands 2 DLC, and, of course, Dead Space 3 and whatever else we decide to talk about kind of on the fly. This is kind of an on-the-fly cast.
Very organic.
I like it. Okay, we are back with our reviews, and we're going to be talking about Far Cry 3, the new Borderlands 2 DLC, Sir Hammerlock's Big Game Hunt, and, of course, the Dead Space 3 demo, which both Scott and Hillary played. So Far Cry 3, I know I talked about it a little bit last week, and I was just really starting the campaign, but this week I finished it up. And I do have to say I was really impressed with the quality of the game. And
you said that there was a separate co-op and single player campaign, right?
Yeah, so the co-op campaign takes place about 6 months before the main story, and it's just really an excuse to kind of throw four new characters into the game and kind of have them run around in the world and wreak havoc. But the co-op campaign is a lot of fun. It's all objective based. Like, one person will have to carry gas cans to fuel up a boat while the other people guard him while different waves of enemies come. And then, you know, you'll have to repair the boat with a repair tool as, you know, increasingly difficult enemies show up, and then sometimes you'll have to race ATVs against each other to like deliver C4 to a target.
That's
sometimes
cool.
That sounds like fun.
Sometimes you'll be up on top of a bridge, like, you know, jokingly seeing who can get the most headshots with sniper rifles. So they do mix it up, and there is a little bit of a narrative that goes along with it as well. I enjoyed the co-op campaign a whole lot and the single player campaign a whole lot. I mean, it's definitely well worth the price of admission for this game. Like, I was not expecting to like Far Cry 3 at all. And then reviews started flooding in, and I was like, you know, I'll give it a shot just to see what it's like. But in terms of depth of a play, the stealth system is really, really well done in Far Cry. You have these different maneuvers called takedowns that you can kind of build. And it's similar to like other stealth systems where you can sneak up behind an enemy. But as you level up your stealth takedowns, you can do all sorts of different things when you assassinate an enemy. So, for instance, like the first one you get is to be able to stab someone, insta-kill them, and then drag the body in any direction that you want to hide it, which is nice. Then you can do things like take the dagger out of their sheath and then throw the dagger to another nearby enemy. So you can do like a double kill. Then you can do things like pull the pin on their grenade and then like throw them into groups of enemies.
Whoa.
Or like draw their pistol out of their holster and then like basically hose fire a group of enemies. So you can get insanely creative with how you actually take down groups of enemies in this game. And it definitely gives you a sense of power. It feels great. And combat never gets boring. So you're never just walking into a camp of enemies and like laying waste with an assault rifle. You can do that, but there's, you know, you get extra points and extra experience for being creative with how you kill. So that's probably the biggest draw for Far Cry 3.
So how would you, I still don't get what this game is about. How would you, like, if you were to pick two games that had a baby and the baby was Far Cry 3, what would the parents be?
Battlefield 3 and okay. Skyrim.
Okay, but there's stealth, right? There's like stealth elements.
There's stealth in Skyrim as well. So
okay,
it like why I said Skyrim, vast open world, leveling system, you know, definitely a sense of progression. And also, I would say I haven't played Witcher 2 yet, but in terms of how adult the narrative is, Far Cry 3 does some things that I was absolutely shocked to see. It's ultra violent. It's ultra violent in a visceral and almost kind of scary way. Things happen to characters that you are friends with that are horrible and gruesome, and it's so well animated. It's using the Crytek engine that you're kind of like, wow, it kind of makes your guts turn a little bit. It's really, and there's scenes that depict torture.
Oh, weird.
Partake in torture at certain parts in the game where you, as the main protagonist, are actually torturing other people.
Wow.
Really, you know, not something you see very often. There are allusions to rape that are really dark and you know.
I thought this game was much more lighthearted. It's not really surprising.
You know, it's not lighthearted at all. I mean, it starts out with, you know, one of the closest people in your lives getting brutally murdered in front of you and you going on like a...
Oh.
Sure.
Well, I kind of think they set that expectation just because I remember at E3 when they showed the trailer, it was like pretty graphic. Yeah. You know what I mean? Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. I mean, and
yeah. So you're thinking going in, this is a pretty adult game.
Yeah, it is. I mean, and there's drug usage. Herbs for different, like, you know, psychedelic effects. There's nudity in the game. And so, you know, this is probably, not to get on a big topic about the ESRB, but this is a game that is specifically designed for adults. Like, if someone that was 12 or 13 years old was playing this game, it would not in any way be appropriate. Like, it's designed for someone that is, you know, has the ability to see a rated R film in the movie theater.
Yeah.
I never thought I'd get to the point in adulthood where I'd be like, this is not something that everyone should play, but it's definitely not. Like, it's a serious game. It's an adult game. It's incredibly fun. It's incredibly well realized. There's a ton to do. All the systems that are part of the game in terms of crafting and stuff, they make a lot of sense, unlike Assassin's Creed. Like, I mean, for instance, like, if you want a better holster for your gun, you go out and you hunt a couple buffalo, like two or three buffalo, and you craft a holster for your gun, and that's right. it. And it takes 5 minutes. You know what I mean? It's not mm-hmm. this big elaborate rigmarole that you, I just said rigmarole. Is it? Is that what it is? Rigmarole.
Yeah, it's rigmarole.
Rigmarole. Like an old song. Anyway. Far Cry 3 was a lot of fun. I suggest it for anyone who likes shooters, who likes open world stuff. I think it's you know, definitely worth picking up if you're in for an interesting adventure.
Cool.
Awesome. So you guys played Borderlands 2 DLC. Borderlands 2.
I actually didn't start the DLC, but the story that I was going to tell was that I tried to start it twice, and I tend to play a lot of Borderlands with our friend Bill, and we totally got sidetracked. But we did encounter Vermivorous, the Invincible, which is the Varkid raid boss that you can get to spawn. And I think this past weekend, Gearbox was doing some special gear up events where certain enemies or certain weapons would drop better stuff with higher frequency. So on the day before the DLC was released, Vermivorous was the character that had a more increased chance of appearing, along with the I think the Norfleet rocket launcher was what he would drop at a higher frequency, and we got it. It was kind of crazy, but nice. it was super cool. It took us like
yellow and super fancy.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of. I think it took us like maybe 10 minutes to get the thing to spawn, and then maybe 15 minutes running around to kill it because there's just the two of us.
Nice.
But we were like running around in circles. We ran out of ammo. It was really a ton of fun.
That you got the rocket launcher, right?
I gave it to Bill. I let him have it.
You're so giving. I would have totally loot hoarded that thing.
Well, I told him. I was like, if you know, don't sell it.
Yeah, don't.
Well, I made him play the Dead Space 3 demo with me. So I think it was an even trade to let him have the rocket launcher.
Such a nice guy. So I'll briefly talk.
Yeah, I want to hear about it.
Sir Hammerlock. I just put it in this morning, so I didn't get a chance to play it all too much. But I can tell you that this is not, at least for me and my character, I spend a lot of time gearing her up. I have a level 50 gauge with like the best stuff I could probably get my hands on right now. I don't think this is really soloable.
Oh, really?
And if it is, it's really, really hard. A lot of the enemies appear as red skulls, which means that they are very, very high level. So like
and they haven't raised the level cap. Is that correct?
No, they haven't raised the level cap. So, they're just the regular, you know, on true Vault Hunter mode, at least the enemies are incredibly high level. And, I was, you know, just fighting, and there's things that take like, they would take like 4 or 5 full magazines to bring down. And I'm like, this would take me, I don't know, all day to get through by
myself.
You have
to get a full squad together.
Yeah, so it's definitely something where you have it's designed to be a 4-player experience. What I can tell you is there's the new vehicle, and the new vehicle is really awesome. It's
not a desert skiff, is it?
It's not a desert skiff. It is a hovercraft, but the design's a lot more sharp. It looks a lot nicer.
Oh, cool.
And it has new firing options. Like this one could actually shoot off little lightning mines that I was using, which was pretty cool. It looks great, sounds great. The new environments that I saw looked amazing. It's kind of like this. If anyone ever read the old Marvel comics, there's a place called the Savage Land, which kind of looks like prehistoric times. That's kind of like the area that you're in Sir Hammerlock's big game hunt.
Can you, based on what you've played so far, can you give us an idea of like what the main narrative is for this particular DLC?
Sure. So you fast travel there, and there's it's called Sir Hammerlock's Big Game Hunt because you are teaming up with Sir Hammerlock to hunt down some of the biggest creatures, I guess, in the Borderlands. Awesome. And some of the hardest ones to kill. So it kind of has this this I guess big game hunting vibe to it. So the main base is
like you're going on safari or something.
Yeah, so yeah. Like the main base is a big lodge, and there's something to do with like a mad doctor that's out there too, but I haven't gotten far enough in the story to see like what the main, you know, focus is going to be. But
it sounds great,
fun. So it's going to be something we're all going to need to play, I think.
More on that story as it develops for us.
So something new, I think Scott and I both mentioned it already, but Scott and I both played the new Dead Space 3 demo, which I think was amazing. And I played single player, and Scott, you played co-op.
Yeah, I think we
and
had
what'd you think?
Very different experiences for the two of us. Do you want to go first and talk about your solo experience?
Yeah, so first of all, I really like the level of customization. I mean, I think I like that from the past Dead Space games, how you could kind of mod your weapon
well,
as far as
super
you know.
Ramped up now what they did with it.
Oh dude, it's yeah. super awesome. You can craft things, you pick up like spare metal and stuff as you're like traipsing through the world, and you can actually like create things. You can, you know, kind of pimp out your rig, which mm-hmm. is like your suit. Like there's a lot of things that you can do that you couldn't do before.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, it was really terrifying. I mean, you wake up and it's snowy outside and you're trying to like struggle to find your way to shelter. And meanwhile, there's like crazy alien things coming at you and it's super scary. And then you slide out of this rig, like you're like sliding down the mountain and you have to jump out of this car to jump onto a ledge. And it's just like super scary. But I have to say the end boss was so terrifying. Like you're basically stuck in this well and there's this ginormous drill that's like spinning around this small circular area that you're in, and it's crazy like zombie people are coming after you, and this big ginormous metal thing with sparks is like chasing you, and you have to figure out a way to get out of this thing. And it took me forever to figure out how to kill this boss, but thank God for stasis. Like there's a you know, you can freeze things, and oh man, it was so scary.
I can't wait.
Do you remember that? Out. You remember that ride at the small carnivals that used to come to town, and it was kind of like an octopus that had arms that spun around, but then each of those things, the cars, like the four cars,
what
would also
called?
Spin around. I thought it was the Tilt-A-Whirl, but that's a different ride.
Are you talking about the thing that like uses gravity to like smush you up against?
That's
the
Gravitron.
That's the
Gravitron.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm talking about the one that's like it spins, but it's got four other arms that spin. It's like being trapped inside the ride with that if you weren't on the ride. It's out of control.
Dude, that thing is so scary. I was literally like sweating because I'm like, oh my God. It was crazy. But the graphics were insane. I mean, I think everything looked really crisp and super awesome. And I can't wait to dive into the story because for some reason everybody's trying to kill you on both sides. Mm-hmm. So you have no friends. You think you have friends, but you don't. And I just can't wait to find out more.
Does it mention what happened to the girl that was with you at the end of number two?
No, it hasn't been.
I don't think so.
The British lass.
I know who you're talking about, but
she lost her eye. That really
no was, intro.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Basically, the demo starts, and you're like hanging upside down, and you're covered in ice. Like your eyelashes are covered in ice. Like you kind of wake up and you're
is
like,
is there a wampa about to come and attack?
it's a lot like that.
Do you cut his arm off?
It kind of felt like Empire. Yeah. No, but it was, I have to say the single player experience was pretty awesome. So I'm really excited to hear about the co-op.
Yeah.
Sounds like fun.
Let's hear about the co-op.
So what say you, Scott?
What say I? I'm going to say that it's different, but I'm okay with it. It's good. I did have a question for you, Hillary. When you played solo, was there another character with you, like computer controller, or was it just you?
Just me.
Oh, wow. That's really surprising because in co-op, you have somebody from EarthGov, like a sergeant that is with you, that when the ship crashes, you kind of like you both crawl out together and then tackle the story from there. And it's really interesting because there's extra dialogue between these two characters. They kind of like, you know, they don't seem to like each other very much. They're kind of like giving each other shit the whole time.
Huh.
Nice.
Like the sergeant guy is telling Isaac that he's crazy and like schizophrenic because Isaac is like still thinking about his girlfriend or whatever.
Yeah.
But
did you get the part when you're playing co-op, when you first go into like the cave like setting and you hear like a radio and you hear them say, Isaac is a threat to humanity.
Yes.
You must destroy. Oh, I was like, why? Why am I a threat to humanity? Like,
okay.
I don't understand. All you people are turning into zombies when you die. Like, I'm not turning into zombies.
Let me ask you this. There's a cut scene early on in this demo where like you're kind of like looking through a car. You're scavenging through a car. And then all of a sudden it starts to slide and like flip over the mountainside. And then you have to get out.
Yeah, that was scary. Yeah.
So that was by yourself, right?
Yeah, totally by myself.
Like that cutscene in co-op has like a two, kind of like a two perspective co-op thing going on. So like Isaac is on one side of the car, like trying to climb out, you know, back onto the, on the terrain. And then the mm-hmm. other guy is climbing through the car. And yeah. at different points, you guys are like, it's kind of like an easy, like button mashing thing. So like mm-hmm. he'll be trying to pull the door open. So you're mashing the A button. And then the other right. guy's inside the door, like kicking the door open, like from inside the car. And you're like trying to pull the door open to get him out. And it's like a yeah. really awesome sequence. It reminds me of like something out of Uncharted, you know?
Yeah. No. So when you play single player, you are inside the rig. Wow. So you're like, yeah. So you're doing things with your, you know, your left stick and I think the A button. But yeah, I mean, it's button mashing and kind of to do, whoa, I hit the mic again. Damn it. So yeah, you have to like basically use your directional thing and your buttons to get out of the situation. Yeah. But it was so stressful because, you know, it was timed mm-hmm. and, you know, you're thinking about falling off a cliff. I mean, you've already been attacked by yeah. all kinds of things.
that like, is really surprising.
It's so nerve-wracking.
That is yeah. so surprising that, because it seems to be the same campaign, but the story, like, I guess there's going to be extra dialogue and the story will unfold, you know, slightly differently.
I have a Shyamalan twist.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I know Uh-oh. What you're saying. I already know what you're saying? Doing with that. Yeah.
You got it? All right.
Okay, so...
Do I need to say it?
No, you don't, because I already okay. know what you're going to say.
Okay.
No, don't say it. He's dreaming. Please don't say it.
Well, but Isaac's schizophrenic, so... Yeah. The other person doesn't actually exist. I'm just saying it now.
It doesn't matter because I'll probably play single player anyway.
Well, listen, this is the thing I was going to say is that they're going to be different experiences because when we played co-op, it wasn't scary. But I think
really?
That's okay. Yeah.
Dude, it was so scary.
It's just different. Like the game is more frantic because, you know, it's you and someone else and you guys are trying to coordinate. Like, you know, obviously it's probably going to be a little easier, but we, you know, you can only play the demo on normal. So I'm assuming that if two people mm-hmm. tried to play on Zealot, it would still be just as terrifying or just as tense as playing solo, but maybe not as scary. But
yeah, when you're all by yourself and you have those, like basically right. humans turn into these things that have human legs and then three large tentacles that are like flailing about that yeah. you really don't want to get. And they're really fast.
Do you remember those little creatures from the previous game and they would shoot the three tentacles out and then fire at you?
Yes.
Like yeah. those guys now go into corpses, infest them, reanimate them. And then when you kill the corpse, the little guy jumps out and runs to another corpse. You have
awful.
To kill him while he's like not in another body.
Oh, God.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
It's so
monsters
scary.
In that game,
dude.
Visceral needs to like go to a therapist because yeah. those creatures are so so scary.
Yeah, it's so much fun. The demo's good. You get to fight like a little mini boss, and then Hillary talked about there's like this challenge with a drill, like a crazy drill at the end that you have to do. Where
so scary.
While you're trying to disable this drill, there's like hordes of enemies coming out at you. And you're just stuck in this tiny space.
And they don't tell you how to disable the drill. Like,
no.
Yeah, you basically have to figure it out. And it took me forever. So I was running around in circles, killing enemies. I'm like, I don't know what to do.
So I want to talk a little bit. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I have to interrupt and say I would really love to watch Hillary stream this live.
Yes.
You know, just imagining her reaction to all of it is probably not nearly as good as actually getting to hear it.
We need a Hillary stream.
I think.
Yeah, I get pretty into things.
I mean, I really feel like this game is going to warrant a solo playthrough and a co-op playthrough because I think both experiences will be different, even though the game will be the same story. And I wanted to talk about for a second the weapon crafting. You know,
yeah,
because
super cool.
Yeah, just to give a little more detail, like in the previous games, you could pick up a weapon. That you would find in the environment. And then you could, there was sort of like a skill tree to upgrade that weapon.
Yeah.
But you had to find like the mod.
Yeah. I
didn't
find those little mod discs.
Little
or whatever.
Hockey puck
yeah.
things. Yeah.
yeah. And that stuff is still in the game, but like pretty much the whole weapon crafting system has been replaced with these like resources. So while you're going through the environments, you'll pick up like this kind of scrap metal or that kind of scrap parts or whatever. And then you can use those scraps to build like weapon components, and then you can actually put weapon components together, and weapons now can be like, you can have a weapon frame with two weapons on it, so you can have a plasma cutter with a shotgun or a plasma cutter with a flamethrower,
That's crazy.
Or like a minigun with a Tesla cannon or something. Like, you know what I mean?
What?
Yeah.
But you can also craft, you know, med kits in mm-hmm. stasis discs or whatever you call them. Like you can craft supplies as well. Plus you can use the same materials and, you know, craft stuff for your suit, which is really interesting.
And there seems to be like,
love it.
In the co-op when we were like messing around at the workbench, we saw that there was a way to like share a blueprint. So if I design a weapon, like mm-hmm. I can give you the blueprint for the weapon and you can just build it. So I think they're going to do a little bit more, you know, obviously they're doing a whole lot more with the crafting system, but I think they're really going to find ways to integrate that second player into the game in terms of like sharing schematics and weapons and stuff like that.
That's awesome. I think the rig design, like the suit that you have, is one of the coolest in a really long time. So I'm interested to see how the new ones look, because I know the last game I was shocked about how many different suits you could come across. And
hey, Scott, did you upgrade your, like, there was a portion, I don't know if you had it in co-op. I think it was about this time you found the second bench. You could get the Arctic suit. Did you get the Arctic suit?
Oh,
I thought that was pretty neat.
I switched rigs just to watch the animation, you know?
Awesome, yeah.
When the guy like steps out of the chamber and like the, you know, his face mask closes around him, it's awesome.
Yeah, that is so cool.
Really cool.
They do such a good job at like this really tight close-up animation. Like you remember in the previous game, that sequence with the eyeball? Oh my God, so detailed, it's still in this game, like that kind of stuff.
Scary as hell. Well, good. I'm glad you guys really liked it.
Oh, I want one quick thing. So I played Dead Space on PS3. So this is the first time I played it on Xbox, and I have to say, I think I like it on. I think I like it better on Xbox.
Good. Good.
Yeah.
It's gonna be fun.
Not that we have a preference between the two systems or anything.
Yeah. Okay, so we're back with the Nequato, or the Nerd Appropriate Question of the Week, which I like to call it. So my question this week is, what film, television, or video game character do you think deserves their own real-life monument, and why? So,
good question, Hillary.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming with it.
I was a little bit inspired by our holiday weekend coming up with Martin Luther King and how he just received a monument in Washington, D.C. So he's a hero. And we all have heroes, so let's hear from the audience who their heroes are.
Cool. The first one on our list is actually a loyal listener of P2R Transmission, and that is Jushin, whose name I hear on literally every episode of their podcast. And I think he just started tuning into us, so thanks for tuning into us, Jushin.
Hi, Jushin.
Yes, Jushin, who is Justin D., he says, Superman, because he's the model citizen and that we all strive to be. And I think I'm almost 100% certain that there is currently a statue of Superman in a town called Metropolis here in the United States. And I'm not making that up. So go to the old Googles, and I believe there already is a Superman statue. So, Jushin, you might need to go there and pay tribute and throw like green rocks at him and cackle or something.
Or take a picture and send it to us.
Yeah, do that on your adventures.
Kittler C says, was this question brought to us by RoboCop? Are you asking for a RoboCop statue? Because I would totally go with that.
Kittler also sent us a link for a petition to get a legitimate RoboCop statue in Detroit, because Detroit needs some protection. So they want to of course erect the statue to good old RoboCop. Are you guys excited for the new RoboCop movie? You know they're making one?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're making a new RoboCop. I have a quick idea. You're absolutely right. I tried to slide that erect in there, you know what I mean? Just to see how it would play.
I let it go.
That's awesome.
So I have a quick RoboCop memory. I went to see RoboCop with my great aunt, who I went when I was a little kid. I was probably like less than 10 years old. And I went and saw it in the theater. And I don't know if you guys have seen RoboCop in recent years, but it's directed by Paul Verhoeven, and it's like insanely violent. Like, he becomes RoboCop by basically being shot so many times that he turns into hamburger meat. Mm-hmm. And I remember being a little kid and being like terrified.
Completely traumatized.
Absolutely terrified. My great aunt was so like traumatized that she basically ran out of the theater and left me there by myself.
Are you serious?
She left me by myself. And
that's not safe.
Well, yeah. And so I watched. Maybe that's why I got so screwed up was from RoboCop. Who knows? There's also the scene where the guy gets acid poured on him and gets hit by a truck.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
That's a lot.
Whoa. That's intense.
Yeah. She also took me to see the movie Action Jackson that had boobies in it. She tried to cover my eyes, but I pried her hands away.
Oh, my God. I think I saw CB4 when I was a kid, and that was not for kids.
I remember going to see Ghostbusters when I was a kid. My mom putting her hand in front of my eyes at the end with the lady with the soap all over her.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
It's not soap, but that's what I remember it looking like at the time.
Oh, wow. Ghostbusters is amazing.
Yeah. Oh,
so good. It's funny how parents tried to shield us from things like that.
Yeah. It's true.
Yeah. I also remember playing for my 9th birthday party. I was a big fan of horror movies. This also explains a lot about me, but I had a horror movie themed birthday party that was a sleepover, and I had like all the kids in my class over to sleep over, and we all watched The Shining.
Oh my God.
Whoa, what?
We all watched The Shining, and by the like halfway through the night, over half the party went home in terror.
Nice. I bet. Parents,
everyone was getting picked up, and I was like, what's the big deal? It's not that scary.
Oh no.
Parents,
that's awesome.
My parents
that's fun.
Responsible. My mom probably listens to this. Sorry, Mom, I called you irresponsible.
Oh, well. Well, you asked if we're excited about the new RoboCop movie, and I'm going to say no because I'm just too excited about Rick.
Yeah. Well, you're just excited about Katie Sackhoff.
That too.
That's my goal for 2013, to get her on the show just for you.
Oh, my God. Awesome. That would be so amazing.
You know, I have to tell you, so for Christmas, I asked for just one thing, anything from her universe, because I found out about that site from you guys, from my husband. Oh. And I mean, I asked my husband for something from there, he got me a Starbucks t-shirt.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm so jealous.
It's fantastic.
So jealous.
That's a great site. And also,
it's so great.
Kudos to Ashley Eckstein, because she just signed like a major deal with Hot Topic produce a whole new line of stuff for next year, or for this year, rather.
That's amazing.
Her universe stuff is going to be literally all over the country. So that's a huge... huge triumph for her, so congratulations.
Hot Topic.
Yeah. So who's next?
So I'll take it. So Nora at Interpreter 13, is that right?
Yep.
Yeah. The entire Normandy crew, I think they've affected a lot of people's lives, and I don't mean in a video game. I would agree with that.
I agree.
Mm. That, yes. That
money shot of Mass Effect 2 with like the...
What?
You know, that really excellent shot of fire.
Yeah, you want to try that again? You want to try that one again?
Yeah, the money shot of the entire... there we go. There it is. That shot. That as a statue, I would drive out to go see that right now. Incredible.
Wait, I'm not seeing it.
You don't see it on Scott's?
Video. I got this calendar at Barnes & Noble for like $6. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's pretty much all the lithographs in a poster.
I agree. And I think Nora, who's Interpreter 13, I think this is her first time writing to us. So welcome.
Hi, Nora.
Hey.
Mylin, do you want to take the next one?
Sure. The next one comes from Maeve's Child. It's at Zap the Templar. And it's a statue should be built to William Shatner as Captain Kirk, of course.
Of course.
Of course.
Love it.
Excellent. Would it be young Shatner or would it be old, slightly plump Shatner?
Both. And they're facing each other with their hands touching.
Whoa.
I don't know. I think I'd rather see him as current day current day Shatner with the Priceline negotiator thing happening in the background. That's like my favorite thing he does.
I would like to see
I love that.
I'd prefer a lounge singer Rocket Man William Shatner statue. Oh.
I don't know. I kind of like Mylin's idea of young meets old with hands touching, and then you could just, you know.
I think that's the only way you could get him to do it, to pose for that. He would totally do that.
He would too.
There needs to be like a fountain around him and then like colorful lights. It's all happening.
I think Shatner's definitely the biggest Shatner fan too.
Yeah.
So he'd be like, a statue of me? Absolutely.
He was on American Pickers. You see that?
That's true. If I was Shatner, I'd be a huge fan of myself. You're absolutely right.
Did you see him on American Pickers like a few months ago?
I don't watch that show. I don't know what it is.
It was ridiculous. We don't have to talk about it. Bree Brower, at Bree Brower, says, Captain Shepard, the female version, of course.
Of course.
Yes. Yeah. Nice.
And I support that.
It's also Bree's first time writing at us. So thanks, Bree. We appreciate you joining our merry band of savages.
What? All right, so Bethany Westmoreland at HemiArt, who's a real good friend of ours, says, I want to see a large statue of Donnie from The Big Lebowski riding a unicorn. Why? Why not?
You know,
nicely done, Bethany.
That's definitely interesting, and I think The Big Lebowski has enough fans to actually warrant a statue like this.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be honest here. I first saw that movie, I think, in theaters, and I may have been in the wrong frame of mind, but I didn't really love it. I think I need to see it again before I get hate mail.
I was totally in the wrong frame of mind because at the time, Matt and our other friends, they were like, oh, it's a movie about bowling. And I was like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
And then I watched the movie and I was like, this was not a movie about bowling. I don't like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's one of those movies that gets a lot of hype. And I think I saw it like way after the fact. And because everyone's like, oh, yeah, it's the best movie ever. Oh, my God.
Is that what they sound like?
Yeah, totally.
Like your impression.
Thank you. I appreciate that. No, because I saw that with that much like hype around it, I'm like, yeah, this is kind of lame, guys. Aww. And they're like, oh, my God, it's so funny.
So many Lebowski fans are going to send us hate mail now.
Yeah, I know. True. So, Hillary, what's your answer?
Do you know, I like sat here for a really long time thinking about it. And the only thing I could come up with was I really want a statue of like Han, Luke, and Leia somewhere really, really awesome in like gold, right? Like the old original Star Wars.
That'd be
Han,
nice.
Luke, and Leia. And like, I that just makes me feel happy inside.
Yeah.
I like it.
Be great.
Cool.
I like
that's my
it.
Answer.
I like your answer. Really, really good answer.
What about you?
Me? I don't.
You.
This is a hard one.
I've got an easy one.
Scott, give yours, because I need to restructure my.
It's a trap.
It is a
trap.
Oh,
that would be good. But actually, I was thinking in the spirit of peace, I would totally go for this, for the old Bill and Ted, be excellent to each other.
Absolutely. Ever.
Yes.
Oh, you totally won.
You just build it out of marble, and then on the bottom, you put a plaque at the bottom.
Be excellent to each other.
That's it.
That's it.
You put one in every town.
Every time. Awesome. I can't talk about this because it's about work. So anyway, I'll tell you guys off the air when I'm telling secrets.
All right.
Our good buddy Carlo at Platinum Fist says, full-size DeLorean, Doc and Marty in bronze. If that doesn't make me smile, what will?
That's good.
Can I steal his answer? Because that is just the best answer.
It could just be like the cover of like Back to the Future 2, right? I think that's the one where they're both standing there.
One thing that Matt and I argue about all the time is here at Universal in Orlando, we used to have a Back to the Future like land/ride.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we had that in.
Oh, yeah.
It was absolutely incredible. I loved it. You had like the Huey Lewis like blaring as you walked up there. It's like all the Back to the Future stuff. And they tore it down and built like a Simpsons thing. And Matt was cool with that, and I wasn't. So
I'm not cool with it either.
Every time we go to Universal, I'm like, I want Back to the Future. He's like, Simpsons is better. And I'm like, no. I miss my Back to the Future.
Yeah, that Back to the Future ride was really good.
So what about you, Mylan?
Okay, so do you guys remember that movie Beastmaster?
Absolutely.
Okay, all right. So at the end of the movie, they're like his two little ferret friends
up for something here.
What's that?
You're setting yourself up for
something. No, listen. He has his two little ferret friends named Kodo and Podo, and I can't remember which one it is, but one of them sacrifices himself for the Beastmaster and like jumps up and like rips the guy's throat out, and they both go over the cliff or something. And so I think there should be a statue for that little ferret for sacrificing himself.
That's absolutely amazing, first of all, because I'm not lying. When I was a kid, I watched Beastmaster probably 1,000 times.
Me too.
I watched it so many times, and that scene was really, really terrifying because I love those little ferrets, right? Terrifying about Beastmaster were those Batwing guys, right? And so remember the Batwing guys that would like smother you, and then you'd come out and just be a skeleton?
Oh, my God. See, terrifying. terrifying
to do that when we wrestled each other. We do like the Beastmaster death batwing attack.
Oh my god, yes.
Wait, really off topic, but did you guys ever watch like Benji when you were growing up?
Remember
Benji the Hunted, where like the cubs got like a big hawk or an eagle or something, like picked them up and threw them away? Like
I think
Benji dies in that movie. That was really sad. So maybe a Benji statue would be good.
You guys want to do something fun? Put Benji on for your dog. It is it is amazing. Like, we did that for our dog once, and it was incredible. She sat in front of the TV the whole time.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Huh. The other day, I was getting ready to leave, and I always leave the TV on for my dog, and I looked up and I noticed Marley and Me was on, and I was like, oh man, I'm not doing that to you. That would be really messed up. You're like, hey kids, stay here and watch this movie.
It's like the dog movie or Fried Green Tomatoes.
Right? So sad.
Oh, that's such a sad movie.
Aww. All right,
who's
next?
Up next?
All right, Cookie Colin, I love that name. At Arcana Legacy says, Commander Shepard, why? I don't think I need to explain the emotional ties each player has to their Shepard character. I don't think you do.
Yeah.
We all love Shepard.
We did.
Shepard
Commander.
I should go.
We should put in some Jennifer Hale sound effects. Anyway, next up is our good buddy, Robert Freemering, Mr. Slick. He says, Jerry Halliwell.
If only you knew, Robert. If only you knew.
Yeah. I think a throwback to like an old Jerry Halliwell joke that he had like many, many episodes ago. And then he says, really though, Shockwave, and it must transform into a boombox and be Bluetooth capable. Love it.
I like that he wrote, you know why, at the end.
You know why.
You know why.
Absolutely. I can't wait to meet this guy. Hopefully he shows up at a convention someday. I'll totally give him an old tickle.
Hey now.
What?
That's such a weird thing to say.
Well, you know.
It's a show of affection.
It is.
Has anybody not given their answer yet?
We have Beastmaster. We have Luke and Leia. I stole
Han.
It's Marty McFly. And you have Bill and Ted.
Bill and Ted. Okay, good. Yeah. Well, then... Mylin, do you want to take us out with the last one?
Okay, the last one is from Justin Banks, Midtown 583. I'm going to say Marty McFly. He inspires people to stand up for themselves and face maturity.
Ooh, that's a good...
Isn't that interesting that two separate people came up with a Back to the Future reference?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's a theme that kind of resonates, you know, no matter how old that movie is, people are going to really kind of identify with it. It's just a great film.
Mm-hmm. I'm really surprised at the lack of Star Wars.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too. Mm.
Or like the Goonies. Mm. Would you like a whole statue
of
the
castle? Guys.
Yeah.
I would love a Goonies statue/monument.
Mm-hmm. Dude, Goonies is the best. And I love, by the way, I love how last week we totally had a you don't take Willy's gold.
Yeah. Love the Willy's gold line. That was absolutely.
I really
Dude,
feel
that
like,
was my favorite part of the entire podcast.
I think all of my morals as a kid were shaped from the movies that I watched at the time.
Yeah, I mean they mm-hmm. work. I mean, you know, you don't take crap that's not yours. Willy's gold.
Yeah.
All right, let's wrap things up. Well, geez, that was a really unexpected and super fun episode 89 of the Rated NA podcast.
I think that's what I'm going to name this episode, an unexpected podcast.
Really
love cool. it.
And big thanks to Mylin for showing up in our hour of need and just kind of randomly joining us on this episode. It was
that's
a real
so clutch.
Yeah, it was fun, guys.
Awesome treat. Woo. We hope to see you soon, and you know, we'll have you back on as soon as you are available, and you can tell us cool stories about Beastmasters and stuff. It'll be great. As always, guys, you can find us on Facebook. Of course, that's /NerdAppropriate. You can find us on Twitter, and that is @NerdAppropriate on Twitter. And we really do our best to reply to each and every one of your tweets. So if you tweet at us, one of us will read it, and we will talk to you about whatever is ailing you that day. we are on Google+. I think Matt controls that, so I don't know what's up with that. Of course, we are on Goodreads as well. And right now, I think there's a big push to read what is the next... We talked about it last week.
I don't know. He said Ready Player One, but we need to get that group going again. Yeah. So, but
okay.
We're keeping an eye on it for sure.
Awesome. And as always, if you guys need to contact us directly, you can email us at Matt, at Ash, at Hillary, one L, or at Scott at nerdappropriate.com, and we will maybe reply to your emails if we're not Hillary. And
hey now,
whoa.
If we're not Hillary, I have like 82 million email addresses, of which I get like thousands of emails a day from work.
I have to send you emails. I have to send it to like 4 different addresses, and it's like literally like maybe she'll get one of these. It's like putting a message in a bottle.
You're gonna have to create a mailing list just for Hillary's email addresses.
Oh no. Just, you know what? People who know me, just text message me. It's so much easier.
You know, in this week's shout out, I want to give a shout out to folks that frequent our podcasts and make things easier for us. So folks like Midtown 583 and Kittler C and Hemiart and Platinum Fist and
Mr. Slick,
can't forget Mr. Slick. These folks are awesome, and we love you guys. So thank you so much for tuning in every single week and listening to our crazy stories. And last but not least, always give a big shout out to Jimmy Hinson, Big Giant Circles, for our amazing theme song. And we will see you next week with perhaps a super secret special guest yet again. So I'll tune in next week to find out who that
Woo-hoo.
Is. Later, guys.
See you.
Bye. Bye.
Oh no, THQ delays South Park Stick of Truth.
No!
Yay, you guys!
That's pretty good. It's Cartman mixed with Anna Schumann again.
Yeah.
I like it.